Well, thank you for inviting me to share with you today. I will be doing two things. I'll be giving you a little quick reminder of what I do, and we'll be jumping into the Word and talking about prayer together today. So Valley Covenant Church has been supporting my and David's ministries for many, many years, and currently I am serving with OMF, and this is the, like I was sharing with the kids, we're focused on East Asia's peoples, which means we have a narrow focus. Geographically, it's actually all over the world now, not just these countries that are shown on the map, because obviously East Asia's peoples are moving. And so our mission field, our area, geographical area within OMF continues to grow as we long to see the good news of Jesus Christ shared amongst East Asia's peoples. And we have a specific focus on seeing indigenous biblical churches reaching out to their own people, and then also reaching out in evangelism to those around them and to the nations of the world. So our big emphasis and what we long to see and what we are seeing amongst East Asia's peoples are movements of God's people. That we don't just want to see people come to know Jesus, as amazing and as wonderful as that is. We long to see people who come to know Jesus and become part of this movement of evangelization of the nations. And so we're excited about doing that. We're excited about the part we get to play in that. Within OMF, we have about 2,500 people working within our organization to see East Asia's peoples and the nations come to know Jesus. So my particular role in that is to oversee different regions. I'm in the international leadership team for our organization. And one of the regions that I oversee is Canada. So Canada sends missionaries geographically to East Asia. We also work amongst East Asians in Canada. There are many East Asians, as you know, Canada has opened its borders pretty wide to immigration and to refugees, and we have a lot of East Asians and opportunities. And even those coming into Canada or into the U.S., we long to not just see people come to know Jesus, but to become catalysts for movements back to their own people wherever they may be across the world. I just want to share a short story quickly about one of our missionaries sent out from Canada. So in Taiwan, there are about 5% believers in Taiwan, which is a pretty good number for East Asia's peoples. It's one of the more Christian nations. But even amongst that, there is a people group that do not have a good representation of believers. But they're not a people group in the way we think of it. They are the shopkeepers. They are the less educated people in Taiwan. So the less educated people in Taiwan, the working class, less than 1% believers compared to the whole country, which is around 5%. And so for OMF, our heart and our desire is to reach out to those who do not yet know Jesus and to see movements of evangelization out of these people. So one of the things we do in Taiwan is to reach out to shopkeepers, because shopkeepers work very long hours in Asia. Anybody visited Asia? The stores stay open till like 10, 11 o'clock at night, and you work from early morning till 10, 11 o'clock at night. You just work for a very long time. And so how do these people even get to go to church, right? They work 7 days a week. And so the missionaries that are working among shopkeepers in Taiwan have church at like 11 p.m. at night or 12 or around midnight or really early in the morning to accommodate these people. And we have seen churches planted among shopkeepers all across Taiwan, including a young missionary that's gone out from Canada and has taken the work from Taipei that started there, and she's helping with some new church plants in other cities across Taiwan. The really cool thing about the shopkeeper ministry in Taiwan is that not only are they seeing people come to faith amongst the shopkeepers, but they are sending out people to do ministry in Taiwan amongst the more tribal people that do not have access to the gospel. They're sending teams out from their shopkeeper churches to do that work. And they also are partnering and praying for a ministry in Myanmar, because the goal is not just that they come to know Jesus. The goal is that they are sharing that with their other around them, that they are taking it to the remote places of their own country as well as the nations of the world. So this is exciting. This is why my job, which is kind of background, so I oversee the person who oversees Canada, right? So my work is kind of not very hands-on, but it's so that people like Martha can go out and do this important work, reaching out to this people group in Taiwan that are neglected and seeing them raised up to be able to reach out in mission to the nations. Another area that I oversee is Brazil, is the U.S., so right here. And we send out a lot of missionaries out of the U.S. to East Asia geographically, but also to East Asian people here in the U.S. I also am overseeing Brazil. We have sent missionaries from Brazil for many years within OMF. I was just able to visit there about a month ago. First time for me. What an amazing experience. I mean, just such a move of God. 40% evangelical believers in Brazil today. A strong missions movement. Be encouraged as you see what God is doing in the nations. And just meeting with people in Brazil, I was also able to visit Chile, just seeing them just weep with the desire to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to East Asia's peoples. So that's another area. Pray for Brazil. We're currently setting up more of a formal entity there. We've worked there informally for many years, mobilizing and raising up prayer for East Asia. Another area that I oversee is New Horizons, which is pretty much all the places that we don't have. So you can pray for me, guys. You see all the areas I'm responsible for. So this is where we send in partnership from many nations of the world to East Asia, where we do not have OMF offices to facilitate the sending, but we work in partnership with local sending agencies who desire to send to East Asia. So this is my responsibility. This is the work I get to do. It means I get to travel to Singapore, where our headquarters are, pretty regularly. I get to travel to some of these countries, pray for David, who I leave behind, and sometimes he gets to travel with me. but really grateful for the church's continued support and continued investment in the ministry that I get to do now, which is quite overwhelming, to be honest. The need is overwhelming and the responsibility is overwhelming. So I really do value and appreciate your prayers very deeply. Okay, so in OMF, I just wanted to share this because it's leading into our scripture. We're getting there. one of the ways we talk about being involved in God's global mission, we say there are six ways that we see people can be involved. I think a lot of us feel a lot of guilt around missions, or maybe a little bit of guilt, like, are we doing enough? Should we be doing more? How can we be involved? And of course, one of the ways, the yellow at the top, is to go. There are some of us who need to go. There are some of us who have been called, and in obedience to what God is asking us to do, we need to go. And there are many who need to go. But another way that we can be part of God's global mission is through sending. And that is what your church has been doing. Valley Covenant has been supporting missionaries and sending missionaries for many, many years. And that is a very important part of God's global mission. Supporting, caring for, not just financial support, the prayers, the care that you give to missionaries is vital. Mission doesn't happen without the church behind. And so that's another way that we can all be a part of God's global mission. Another way is welcoming. As I said before, many of East Asia's peoples are moving around the world. Not only East Asia's peoples, but all peoples. There's a huge migration of people across the world. And one of the ways we're involved in God's global mission is just by welcoming people that come to our doorsteps. Are we ready? Are we ready with the welcome of Jesus for those that God is sending to us? For many of us, we couldn't go, so God sent them to us. They're on our doorstep. There are people in our neighborhoods, in our communities that we can reach out to and be part of God's global mission. Another way that we can be part of it is by mobilizing, by encouraging and sharing the needs with others. Maybe we can't go, but we can share the needs. We can mobilize. The last two, to learn and to pray, is part of what we're going to focus on today. We need to be learners, learners of God's kingdom across the nations, learners of what God is doing. And I appreciate this community of believers in that I know that you are learners. You're having a great Sunday school class where you're learning about the situation in the Middle East and how the impact of that, that you do read and you are interested in the world. And for us to be learners so that we can pray more effectively is a huge part of how God uses every member of the body to be part of his global mission. Because global mission is not an either or. It's not either we work in the church here or we work globally. We're all called to do both and. We're all called because it is God's heart from the beginning of Genesis, from Genesis chapter 12, where he said he's blessing Israel so that they can be a blessing and so that people from every nation will see him and know him. That is our call. That's the call for all believers, that all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we continue to have that in Matthew 28, where we are called to go and make disciples of all nations. And in Acts chapter 1, where we see the Holy Spirit being poured out so that we could go from Jerusalem, Judea, to the ends of the earth. But we can all be a part of it. And I want to say again, thank you for the ways that you have been a part of that, for many missionaries, and faithfully to David and I over the years, and the many lives that have been touched because of that. All right, we are going to be thinking a little bit about prayer. I'm curious for you, when you think about prayer, when you hear the word prayer, what do you think about? What do you feel, or what's the thoughts that come to your mind? I'm just going to give you a few seconds. What do you think when you hear the word prayer? What do you think? What do you feel? What comes to your mind? And how about the word mission? When you hear the word mission or missionary, today we're going to be thinking about these two words together. We're going to be thinking about missional prayer, and we're going to come to a prayer that I'm sure you are very familiar with, the Lord's Prayer, and this version is out of the book of Luke, chapter 11. So I grew up in South Africa. I went to a public school. I wore a little green uniform with long green socks and a little green skirt. I hate the color green because I had to wear it for 12 years of my life. A particular color green, a grass green, which I found very unattractive as a 12-year-old and didn't like to have to wear. But one of the things in South African public schools is that we have assemblies 3 times a week and we have a devotional. So one of the teachers will share scripture and we will pray, and every time we would pray the Lord's Prayer. And so in my little green school uniform, I would be sitting there praying the Lord's Prayer. And it has become a very precious prayer to me over the years. It's become very dear to me, even as I recited it from a young child. But I was thinking about the Lord's Prayer that we're all very familiar with, and I was thinking about the context in the book of Luke. So if you have your Bible and you want to look at Luke chapter 11, and you want to skip back a little bit quickly to Luke chapter 10, or you can do it in your scroll back on your phone, because I think the authors of the Bible were very intentional in where they placed certain things. So Luke chapter 10 starts off with the sending of the 72. Remember, Jesus said, and you can see this in verse 2, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he sends out the 72, and they cast out demons, and they see all this crazy stuff happening. And it's amazing, right? They go out and they see God's kingdom come in amazing ways. And then we go, and then there's the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable in verse 25. Very famous story of going out of your comfort zone to help those that are in need, of laying aside your own prejudices or things that prevent you, your busyness or your theology that prevents you from reaching out to others. and the story of what that looks like to love your neighbor. And then we have the story of Mary and Martha. Again, the story of Martha being really busy with many things and Mary choosing to sit at Jesus' feet. And Jesus saying Mary has chosen the good portion. And then chapter 11 comes and we started off with the Lord's Prayer. Just want to note that this prayer does come in this context of going and doing. It comes in the context of the 72 being sent out. It comes in the context of the Good Samaritan who went out of his way to help those around him. And it comes in the context of Mary and Martha sitting at the feet of Jesus and the importance of that. I think for many of us, there's a dichotomy in our minds between intimacy with Jesus and wanting to sit at his feet and going and doing. And yet it's both. It's both and, right? That it's not about not going and doing, but it's about our heart-centered attitude and dependence on Jesus. And the Lord's Prayer, I believe, comes here and was placed here very strategically because prayer is the thing that as we go and we do, which is what we're encouraged to do as believers in Jesus, is to not just sit on our faith, but to share it with those around us, to see movements of evangelization across the nations of the world. That is our destiny. That's what we created for. That's what God made us and brought us into his kingdom for. That we do, as we do that out of a sense of prayerfulness, out of a sense of being at the feet of Jesus in prayer. Because prayer disciplines our hearts and reminds us that it is not our work, but his work. That it is not about us saving the world, but about Jesus saving the world. And that it's not about how much we can do for him or should do for him or can do for him, but it's about us lovingly submitting to him and walking with him day by day in a way that impacts the world around us. Prayer is not only for the work, prayer is the work. Everything else that we do is the outworking of that. All right, we're in chapter 11, and we don't have this part on the screen. We just have the verse, the actual prayer. But just before the prayer, we see Jesus is praying in a certain place, and one of his disciples, we don't know which one, I'm really curious. There's only one disciple who asks him the question. They're like, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Do you ever have that feeling? Like, Jesus, teach me how to pray. Or if I'm really honest with myself, sometimes I'm like, Jesus, teach me to want to pray. Sometimes it's not even easy to want to pray, never mind to know how to pray. And I love that Jesus is so welcoming. He showed them, he modeled to them how to pray. I've probably shared the story before with you because it's one of my favorites, but I grew up with a grandmother who was a prayer warrior, and Christmas holidays, which are summertime in South Africa, as it should be, suntan lotion and barbecues are the Christmas spirit for me. When we would all descend on my grandmother's house, her five children and all their children, so it was a merry, exciting, chaotic picture of life together. We would wake up early in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. The soundtrack of our childhood Christmas vacations was my grandmother praying really loudly with her prayer partner for us, for her neighbors, for the nations of the world. She modeled to me a lifestyle of prayer that it didn't matter if it was Christmas vacation or what time of year it was. She rose early in the morning and she prayed loudly. In fact, the neighbors would complain because she was very loud. But that was her way. That was what that was what gave her energy, and she would bring a prayer partner. She always had a prayer partner. She seldom prayed on her own because she knew herself. She wasn't good at praying by herself. But she knew if she had a prayer partner that she would be more disciplined in her prayer. She modeled it. And I see Jesus here modeling prayer. Are we modeling prayer to those around us? Are people asking us, teach us how to pray? Because they see it in our lives. That would be cool. That would be like the best compliment I think I could ever get if somebody said, teach me how to pray because I see your prayerful life. And the prayer was very simple. When you pray, say, Father. when you pray, say, Abba, Father. I love that the way Jesus taught us to pray. There are many words he could have used here. He could have used Almighty God, Lord of hosts, King of kings, which are all true and amazing truths about our God. But he focused here on this intimate relationship, this Father relationship that he had and we too have as those adopted into the kingdom. That as we come to pray, we cry out, Father, and we can depend on the goodness of our Father. If we go down later in the scripture, in verse 11 of chapter 11, it reminds us that what father among you, if his sons ask for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We come to a good Father. We can trust his goodness. And as we come to our Father, the one who, how much more will he give us good gifts? As we come to him in that place of intimacy, we say, hallowed be your name. To hallow is to proclaim as holy, as sacred. His name, his reputation, his honor. We come worshiping. Prayer begins with the worshipful recognition of God's character. One of the joys I had, like I said, is that I get to travel to many countries in the world. I grew up in South Africa. One of my other favorite childhood memories was going to church amongst the Xhosa people with my parents and being around people who praised Jesus exuberantly, who praised and worshipped with all their heart, with all their bodily strength and might and their vocals. And what an amazing thing it is to be around exuberant worshipers of Jesus. In China, where we lived for 24 years, to be around brothers and sisters who are persecuted for their faith and yet will come in worshipful adoration of this Jesus who is so meaningful to them. We come in worship to our Father saying, you are worthy of all praise, you are good, you are lovely. But I believe this is also a missional prayer, that we do not only come in worship as we pray, but we pray for worship. We pray, Lord, let your name be hallowed. Let your name be worshipped across the nations. The greatest inequity in the world is the inequity of the availability of the gospel. That is the thing that should be getting us upset. There is not equal access to the gospel. There are many places where people do not have one friend who is a Christian. They do not have access to Bibles or to churches. We're praying, as we come to this, we pray in worship and we pray for worship. We pray for worship to rise out of East Asia and out of Africa and out of the Middle East and across the nations, because that is what is we're destined to do. We're destined to worship. And Jesus is so worthy. And so I believe this prayer is a missional prayer, that we pray in worship and we pray for worship. We pray, Jesus, let your name be hallowed. Let your name be made famous. Let your character be worshipped in the nations, because you are worthy of that. And we know that while missions will end, worship continues, even in heaven. There is no end to worship. So the missional part of this is temporary. But what is eternal is the worship. So we pray, Father, the one who loves us, who gives us good gifts, we say, Jesus, let your name be worshipped amongst the nations. Let your name be made known. Let your character be glorified amongst the peoples of the earth. We come in this missional mindset, and then we say, Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. This is our heart's desire, not the kingdom of men, not governments that are this way or that way, but Jesus, your kingdom. Let your kingdom come. To pray the Father's kingdom come is to pray the fulfillment of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. To pray your kingdom come is to pray the destruction of Satan's kingdom. Like we saw in the sending out of the 72, and they talked about how they saw the demons fall because what it was happening, the kingdom was coming. The kingdom was invading, and they saw the kingdoms of the earth and the kingdoms of the demonic falling because the kingdom of Jesus was coming. And that is what we pray today. We pray your kingdom come. In the Matthew passage, it talks about your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In a book called The Prayer That Turns the World Upside Down, Albert Muller says this: something within us cries out that the world is horribly broken and must be fixed. We are actually desperate for what no earthly revolution can produce. We long for the kingdom of God and for Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are looking for a kingdom that will never end and a king whose rule is perfect. This is why Christians pray the Lord's Prayer. This short prayer turns the world upside down. Principalities and powers, here they fall. Dictators are told their time is up. Might will indeed be made right, and truth and justice will prevail. The kingdoms of this world will all pass, giving way to the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And so our prayer, the simple prayer, just a few words, three words, your kingdom come, is a prayer of God's heartbeat to see his kingdom come across the nations of the earth. Right here in Eugene and Springfield, in our beautiful country of the U.S., and amongst all of these people across the nations. Jesus goes on to teach us to pray, give us each day our daily bread. Many around us in the world pray this with real need, with real lack in their lives. We know that we can pray this for many things. The daily bread may not be a physical need, it may be a spiritual need. But we daily need to receive from Jesus. But I believe this is a missional prayer in that we come alongside our brothers and sisters across the world and we pray, as your kingdom comes, Jesus, would you give us each day, would you give us, your people, your children, each day our daily bread? Would you provide, as we hear about disasters, famines, flooding, other things happening in the nations, we pray, give us, your people, give your children, each day our daily bread, that we can be part of God's solution. It may not feel like much. It may not feel like enough to be praying. But remember, the prayer is the work. Everything else is the outworking of the answers to our prayers. Everything else, because it is God who works on behalf of the needy. And we come to him with full confidence that if we ask him for bread, he's not going to give us a snake. He's not going to give us a stone. We ask him to come and to help those who are needy and need bread and food. And I'll be real honest with you too, as a missionary who lives on support, right? So people pledge money to me to be able to do the work that I do. This is a prayer that is meaningful to me too. As I pray, Jesus, give me this day my daily bread. Because I don't, in a sense, get a salary that some company is giving me. I give what others have invested in God's kingdom to be able to do the role that I'm doing. So for all of us, this may look a little bit different. What does it look like for us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. But I think it is not just selfish. It's not just me. It's us, his people across the nations. The good news is that God gives us exactly what we need at all times. And he longs to do that for all the peoples of the earth. And in this version of the prayer, it ends with, forgive us our sins For we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not to temptation. This missional prayer, the kind that overturns principalities and kingdoms, that sees transformations of societies and peoples, this missional prayer that says, your kingdom come, that says, give us this day our daily bread, that says, hallowed be your name, this prayer is also a petition for forgiving ourselves of our sins, as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. It's a call for us as we walk in this missional lifestyle of being part of God's grand scheme His global kingdom being established, that we do that with forgiveness. And we do that with repentance. We don't only intercede for the spread of the gospel externally, but we also pray for the deepening of the gospel in our own hearts. As we come, we know the gospel must first penetrate our own hearts and our own need for forgiveness. And then we pray that others, too, in the nations of the world would understand, too, their need for forgiveness and the full forgiveness that Jesus offers. A short prayer, but full of so much. Such an expanding prayer that takes us out of our everyday lives and makes us think upon the glory, the majesty, the goodness of our God, and the amazingness of his global kingdom. It's hard to pray, but it's really easy. It's both the most difficult thing we can do every day and yet the simplest. When Jesus taught them how to pray, he didn't give them this long list of things. He didn't make it complicated. It's pretty simple, and it starts with Father. It starts with knowing that our Daddy loves us to talk to him and to bring both our own and the nation's requests before him. So I want to encourage myself, because prayer is hard for me too, to make time and to prioritize this. And the fun thing is that we get to pray for really big things and really believe that God can do them. It's a stretch of our faith. And somehow God involves us in that. He involves us in what he is doing across the nations. What a beautiful gift he has given us to be involved in that. I just wanted to share with you a simple way that you can be having prayer and prayer for the nations more an easy habit for you. And one of those things is an OMF prayer app. There are many organizations that have prayer apps. This is just one of them. But it's a prayer app that you can download and gives you just one thing to pray for every day. Just a minute prayer, where there's something that comes up on your prayer app that says, this is something you can pray for today. We can go to the next slide. So there's the daily prayer stuff that comes up, and it just is a really short thing that encourages you to pray for something. And there's also another piece, which is series. And I like this one a lot. I have this prayer app, and I like the series because the series take you through one country. So, for example, this one takes you through Cambodia. And it just gives you a whole list from number 30 back down to number 1. You can go keep scrolling. All right, and it starts off with number 1. And number 1, remember I talked about the 6 ways that we can be part of global mission? Number 1 can be learning and praying. And the number 1 is just a learning opportunity. It just tells you something about Cambodia, what God is doing. It just gives you a really brief kind of introduction to the country. And then from day 2, it starts you in very specific ways to pray. And this one is praying around the environment and the environmental issues that Cambodians are facing and how to come alongside and pray with them. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean for farmers in Cambodia? How can we pray alongside them to see his kingdom come, both amongst people coming to know Jesus, but also as God answers prayers in the midst of environmental disasters? So these are just fun ways. There are many apps, there are many things that you can use that can give you really quick and easy ways to pray for God's church, to pray for the nations of the world. And so what does it take for you? Maybe you're already there. Maybe you're satisfied with your prayer life. That's great. I think for many of us, we need a little help sometimes. And then how do we come to this and pray, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. I encourage you. Prayer is both really hard and really simple. Let's rejoice in the simplicity and the joy that we have in partnering in God, with God's global mission through our prayers. Amen.